Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr, and you are listening to Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework artists. Our artist this week, Orna Willis. Hi, Orna.
Hey, how are you, Gary?
Oh, doing okay. Man, I couldn't believe how long it's been since we talked. Because for people who have followed Fiber Talk from the beginning, Orna did two shows fairly early on in our history. And I looked to see when the last one was, and we're recording this December 10, and that was posted December 10, 3 years ago. I couldn't believe it.
To the day.
Yep, to the day. Yep. Yep.
Wow.
Amazing. 3 years. Yeah. And so then I, like anything, your design work, these podcasts, you just go day to day and you just keep, you know, turning the wheels and time flies. And yep, 3 years. Wow.
And you're going stronger and stronger.
Yep. Yeah, it's cooking along. It's a lot of fun to do, and reaching a lot of people all over the world. So it's a real
That's
plus.
Fantastic.
Yep. Yep.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you.
Well, we've enjoyed it. Really have. Yeah. So you've got some. Well, all right. First, I have to ask the question. Jessica Stitches. You do more Jessica Stitches than anyone on the planet. Is that, it's like it's your basket weave stitch. How did that come to be? Just something that works for you?
You know, it's funny. The first design that I ever sold was to Rainbow Gallery, and it was called Jessica's Garden because I did Jessica. So you must be right about that.
And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's just, wow, she uses a lot of them.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. First of all, the magic of the process of how you stitch straight stitches and you get these beautiful circles or oblongs or whatever, that still is magical for me every single time. I really love that. It's so different than are on the base that we work on, the canvas that is all, you know, vertical, horizontal, and all of a sudden you can curve and you can do all sorts of things with these shapes. But besides that, one of the things I teach is sort of a different way of looking at Jessica's in terms of how to stitch them. And the system that I use for Jessica's, you don't need to look at the page or the numbers after you've figured out where number one of the Jessica is and where number two is. Once you've seen that, you no longer need to follow the numbers.
Okay.
And so I teach this thing, and all of a sudden, these Jessicas become really easy to stitch.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, if you take one of my classes, I'll teach you too.
Okay. Because that, yeah, I mean, that's one of those stitches that makes people run and hide. And because it just looked, and it's really not as complex as it looks. But, you know, people just kind of, oh, I could never do that. And well, yes, you can. But if you've got it, a technique that makes it so they don't even have to refer to the chart once they get started, then you're well on your way there. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when I first did it, when I first started doing Jessica's, then I would look at it and I would see, oh my God, this Jessica goes all the way to number, you know, 327 in the numbering of it. And you look at it and it's really not that big. It mm-hmm. doesn't take up that much room on the canvas, and I'm thinking, but yet you have to keep track of, you know, over 300 places that you go up and down with your needle. There has to be something easier, and I'm an awful counter, terrible. I cannot count twice and get the same.
Okay.
Just can't. So that need. And just my thinking, wow, there's something here that's magical. I got to figure it out. Those two really opened up this little window that I have and I love to pass along. And it makes them fun. And then And I hope nobody's listening to what I tell you now, because
Yeah, I'm
people
sure
will
they're
think
not.
I'm
Yeah.
crazy. Yeah, okay. And then one of my most favorite things is to stitch a Jessica so well that you don't know where it starts and where it ends. You
Yes.
know, where it's just perfect. And it just gives me this enjoyment, like sort of like eating this amazing piece of chocolate or something. And I know it sounds weird,
No,
but
it doesn't.
it works for me.
It
I
doesn't.
love it. So,
And
yeah.
one of the things that I love about your designs is you don't just put a Jessica down. The way you fill the inside, I really enjoy what you do in the inside of a Jessica. You don't, as a rule, don't just leave them sit there. And
Correct.
so to me, you've what you do with that really puts an extra level of life in that stitch.
Yeah, thank you. I think it also draws the viewer into the piece. I think anything that can make the viewer come up and kind of study closer and kind of find the little beautiful worlds that are happening in these little corners of a piece. I think that's a great thing to do. And yeah, the middle of the Jessica is just really, what do you call it? When you buy, oh God, I can't think of it, but it's expensive property. You know, you shouldn't let it go. There's a piece of canvas there that can be framed by this Jessica, and you better do it right.
Well,
You
yeah,
better.
there's that. Yeah, that's one of the things that I've always enjoyed about the photos you do of your designs is you often will do one from an angle. And we really get to see the incredible texture that you put into the piece. And for me, those are the fun ones because my eye starts following it like a city, just
Yeah.
moving through the piece. And I just love looking at those shots from an angle because they add it. There's an extra dimension to them that you don't see from a square on shot.
Exactly. Yes, that's absolutely right. It's what do they call those maps that show you the hills and
Oh, the
the
topographical?
valleys? Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah, it's almost like a topographical needlepoint view.
Yeah.
I love seeing that too. It's what's special with the type of stitching that I do, which is the complex stitches that give you both texture, height, and a whole aspect of sort of building on top
Yeah.
of one another. And those, yeah, the shots do give you the chance to see it. It's almost like an aerial view, right? It's
Right,
like you're on
right.
a plane and you're looking at what's going on.
Right.
Yeah.
Does that enter your mind when you're designing the texture, or does it just kind of come second nature?
I have to be honest. When I design, it's a flow. So I can't tell you that I have this whole map thing mapped out. I don't. It's definitely something that I think, okay, now it's time to give this a little bit of height, a little bit of interest in terms of texture and so forth. You know, you've done stuff up to now that's a little flat. Let's give this design some new dimension. And so I think about that as I'm stitching. I've told you before, I design as I work.
Yes.
And it's something that's sort of, I don't want it to sound mystic because I don't think it is, but it's something that happens naturally. It just kind of comes from the needle step by step. And that too, just like color choice or thread choice, stitch choice, and you're right, the topographical choice as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that was I enjoyed I did a class with you that you did well, easily 2 years ago, if not more, where we got to go along with the with you as you designed. And I never finished it. At the time I was working in a company with a owner that life was not good. And so it got shoved aside just because of life.
Yeah.
But I followed along all the way till the end. I just never stitched all of it. But it was an interesting experience because you do exactly that. You design on the fly, and there were more than one instance in that class where, no, this isn't working. I need to go back to here and start again. And it was interesting to see your mind work in as the design evolved.
It was really an interesting experience for me too, because it made me aware of what I'm usually not aware of. So it sort of it broke down the process for me to see as I was showing you. And it was as much an interesting experience for me as it was for you. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little bit revealing. You feel a little bit out there for everybody to see this crazy mind that's
Yep.
going all over the place.
All the warts and
But
everything. Yep. Yeah.
yeah. But
Yeah, no, I thought about that more than once, that you really had to put the shields down to do that. And something you do in the privacy of your studio, you now revealed to the world. But it was just instructive, and obviously the old adage, if you really want to learn something, teach it. And it sounds like that happened to you. You got a new
In a
insight.
way, yeah. Yeah,
Yeah.
I did. I did. Yes, it was a fun class. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah.
And I think I'm pretty sure that I did it internationally. I started in the States and I think I ended in Israel. I had it with me and
Oh.
kept going there. Yeah.
Truly an international piece. Well, it came up in a recent live show. Cindy Baldwin was our guest, and we have these Wednesday live shows where we'll have a guest on who will then send me photos of 8 or 10 of their projects, and then we'll put them up on the screen and talk about them, and live audience can ask questions. And when she sent me the photos, she had completed that piece. And I stop, I'm going through the photos, getting them right. Oh, yes, that one. That's how it finished up. And and she remembered that I was in the class. And yeah, so she had finished the piece. So we talked about you not too many weeks ago on and about that class on the live show, and showed that piece. And because what was it in the middle there? You took silk thread and split it the way it shouldn't be split. And
Correct.
that
Yeah.
was
Yeah.
instructional for me. I'll never forget that. Because Orna, do you really want me to split this thread?
It had a kind of waviness, right?
Right. Yeah.
Because we split it.
Yeah. No, you brought something out of it that you wouldn't normally see. Yeah. It was.
That's funny.
But I've always remembered that, because it was. I don't think we want to do this, Orna. Are you sure? And all right, I'll split it. And I'll stitch with it, but it looks pretty fragile to me. And then, yeah, the end result was something that you just can't get otherwise. So that was good. Yeah. Yep.
I appreciate you coming on the journey with me.
So, okay, from that time, however many years ago, one of the things that you did was you built a new home from scratch. And it was fun watching you build that. And I wondered, as part of that home, I mean, obviously bedrooms, bathrooms, and kitchens, but what you would do with your studio, because you have, I assume, a pretty good space now.
I do, yeah. It was clear that we were going to design it so that I would have a good space. And it was definitely something that we thought a lot about. The house, it's a city house. We're in the city, but the house is not very city-like because it's a, I don't know if you know Philadelphia or
Been there several
cities
times, yeah.
around here. So you have a lot of these row homes that are on a small footprint and they go up height wise, but they're basically pretty small in terms of the front of the house, pretty narrow. And so I found this lot that was square. And That's really unique. And we,
Gold right there, yeah.
exactly. And then also it's in a on a little cul-de-sac that has beautiful gardens around. So even part of it, doesn't even look very city-like. But so I say this because we try to figure out what level the studio should be. I need light, but I can't have too much light where my fibers are affected.
Yeah.
And I sometimes have to carry big boxes or get orders out quickly or whatever. So I do want to be next to the front door and lots of things to think about. And we ended up putting it on the entrance level, sort of at the back of the house. You walk in and you can see it. And in fact, right in front of you, you see a beautiful wall of hanging fibers. I can't think of a more beautiful thing to see when
Nope.
someone walks into the
Yep.
house.
That sets the tone, doesn't it? Yep.
It does, yes. Yeah, it does. And it's a big place. It's not closed off. It sort of suggests walls, but it's not really walled in. And lots and lots of cabinet drawers for all of the millions of doodads that I like having. I have a big work table in the center, sort of like an island, and it's really big, so I can put all my works in progress, and as I collect threads coming in for new projects and new kits, I've got the space. It works beautifully. And
Yeah, because a lot, you'll have people from time to time who will, all right, the kids moved out, now I can create my own studio. Or we just moved to a new house and I have a chance to really set it up the way I want it. And I can have a studio instead of being in the recliner in front of the TV in the living room for the last 20 years, And so I wondered what it was that went through, and so then my questions were, how much of a priority was storage space? Work surfaces, but even more so, how did you orient it in terms of outside light? Did you have a northern exposure? What did you do with that? Because that has to play a role in how you work and how you feel in your place.
Right. So there's the house is full of windows. I kind of wanted a house that one of the things I said to the architects, I want to have to put on sunglasses when I'm home. I need light. So what happens here is that there's a lot of light, but the part of the studio that has all the threads is, if you imagine a room that three quarters of it has windows, but the last quarter is sort of like a nook and it doesn't have windows. So there's three walls that are windowless, and then there's the opening to the part that does have the light. So it's never direct, I guess is what I'm saying. I have shades that are UV protecting, so that's good. Sometimes in the winter, the sun does manage to come in more than other seasons, being low. And then the other thing I have, there's no walls here, but we built cabinets that are walls. So it's two cabinets back to back, and they have storage on either side. But one of the side, what? But it also, it sort of stops too much flow of light from that side. It's between the studio and the windows, and yet it doesn't go all the way up to the ceiling. So
So you can
it's all.
have fibers hanging out on racks or out, and you don't have to worry about sunlight altering their colors then.
Exactly. Nothing is nothing is affected by that, right? Everything, all my threads that are skeins are hung on big what do you call them? You know, those boards where you have the
Oh, pegboard.
pegboard, sort of. Yeah. So there's a lot of room for that, and they're shielded. And then all the other threads are in big, big pull-out drawers. And just to let you know, my whole studio is IKEA kitchens. And so they're really good with drawers. Yeah. So yeah, it's go ahead.
I mean that line, do you line the drawers then to protect the threads from the wood? Or
I wish it were
are
wood.
threads in and out?
IKEA's not
Oh,
wood.
it's okay, that's right.
But no, you know what I found, and I have used these always wherever I was, are inserts that have sort of dividers. And they're not necessarily meant for threads, but they work beautifully. So nothing touches. None of my threads touch the actual drawers, not on the sides, not on the
Oh, okay.
bottom. They're all in sort of trays that have these dividers. And over the years, I have found which dividers match, you know, Rainbow Gallery cards and which are good for Trebizonds. And then I have some little cabinets that I love that are perfect for Krynek spools. And I think that if I were to build, if I had built this studio years ago when I was only 5 years in the industry, for instance, I would have made all the mistakes in the world. But luckily, I was 20 something years into stitching and made all a lot of mistakes already. So it's not that I wouldn't do anything differently, but most of the things I did were exactly what I need
Got it
to be
right.
able
Got
to
it right.
function.
Now, what did you do for artificial light?
I have spots. I have really nice ceiling. Oh, are they called spotlights? What are they called?
Flood
The ones that
lamps,
are,
whatever.
yeah, some, yeah. And then I have some nice fixtures in the ceiling as well. So the light is really adequate. I do tend to have the light on even during the day, just to make sure I can see everything as well as possible. And yeah, it's really lit nicely.
Because see, that's a real
Perfect.
opportunity if you can build your own space is, can I put enough light into it so I don't have to have a light at, right on the project? And it sounds like you at least got close to that.
Yeah. If I'm working at my big island work table, there's wonderful light above it. It's seated in a, you know, it's just sitting here in a in the best spot possible in terms of lighting. And I've never needed task lighting here. It's
Yes.
always been enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's getting it right. That's getting it right. Yep. Okay,
Not bad.
the main table, is it a constant battle to keep it clean?
Yep.
Okay, good. You're
It
normal. All right.
is. I have this thing, oh, guests are coming, which, you know, thank goodness I have, because that makes me, forces me every once in a while to clean. So
Yeah.
now, you know, in the past 8 or so months, there's no guests are coming,
Uh-oh.
but there is Zoom classes coming. And my studio is kind of exposed to the students. So that means, okay, gotta clear the desktop, gotta fix things, put things away, thankfully. And I do that, you know, at least once a week, and then things are pretty much in good shape.
Side benefit of a Zoom class. I have to clean up.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, do you have
Yeah.
enough room that you can have a small class in your space there?
I do. I think that when the time comes, because I want to have classes here like I did in the past in previous homes, I think that what I would probably do is go up a level to our living room, dining room, kitchen area because it's a huge open space. And that would probably be much more beneficial and would give people much more room to spread out. And then, it's sort of like having the storage for the threads. You just go down a few stairs and it's there. And then you come back up to your space. I would have tables out, and I think that would be the best way possible to do it.
So you have enough space that you don't have people elbow to armpit in there trying to stitch. That's
No, I have a lot of space. And we've
that's
left a
fantastic.
lot of it kind of open. So, I don't have to move things around much to have that space.
That's excellent.
Took
That's
that into
excellent.
account.
No, that's great. No, it's just that, you get an opportunity to build your own space for needlework, and then what do you do with it? How do you make sure that you get it right? And for the next 10 years, aren't wishing you'd done it different. Sounds like you, well, you had the experience ahead of time, so you knew what not to do, so that helps.
Exactly. It's not that I'm that smart. It's just that I already made a lot of mistakes.
That's all right. That's all right. And then, since we last talked, it seems like you kind of went quiet for a while. I mean, maybe it was just my perception, but it seemed like there was a little break in the Orna Willis action, and then things have kind of rejuvenated here. Just a little mental break.
Well, I think it was, first of all, had something to do with building a house. That took a lot of my attention. And also we had to live in rentals, two different rentals where, it took a long time to set up, and it just took a lot of my energy. But then another thing happened. I realized that over time, I was more and more, as I was designing, I was thinking of what it would be like to stitch these pieces. What would it be like to write instructions, guides for these pieces? And as time went by, I felt that I was putting more and more limitations into my designing. I was doing it to myself because I kept thinking about, okay, but how well can I turn this into a teaching piece, into a kit for others to stitch? Until, it got to the point where I just was not enjoying what I was doing. I felt that it wasn't interesting enough, that I was putting a lot of limitations, I was stopping myself from doing things, and it became so intense that I thought, okay, I'm going to stop designing for kids, or I'm just going to stop it. I'm just going to design what I want, and I'm going to put it up on my walls, and that's it.
So creating
And
so the generating the final product that people can buy and stitch was limiting your creativity then.
the way I was thinking about it was limiting my creativity. It was limiting my creativity and therefore limiting my enjoyment. It really became a task. It became a burden. And it was just not flowing. I was, sort of drying up, in so to speak. And so I decided, all right, then I'm going to stop designing for the public. And I'm just going to do pieces that are for me. And which I was doing for a while. And then somehow, and I don't know how, you kind of never know how thoughts kind of pop into your head. But I realized one day that I was judging my stitchers. I was judging my fellow stitchers, and I was sort of not giving them the benefit of the doubt that they were able to figure me out. I did not have to limit myself, They were smart. These are smart people. These are people that want to be challenged. people that deserve to have the best of what you can design. And I shouldn't underestimate them. It wasn't fair. It wasn't right. And so I just started, actually, I continued designing what I enjoyed, what I liked. And I moved away from taking that into account beforehand or while. My pieces became very different, I think.
Yes, they
I've
are.
kind,
They are.
yeah.
Yes.
They're much less predictable. They're much less symmetrical. They're much less, the color schemes are much less obvious. And I think they're more sophisticated. They certainly are so much more enjoyable for me. And what I found is that the public is receiving them beautifully. Very exciting, and people are I think they're happy that I feel that they are absolutely capable of, doing what I'm presenting here and kind of going along with me on this journey.
I'm so
So it's
glad.
been very, very rewarding.
I'm so glad to hear you describe this latest work, because those were the thoughts that went through my mind when I looked at him. I thought, well, my first thought was, "Whoa, Orna found a new level." There's
Thank you.
something there that has not been there before. This is really neat, and my eye starts working my way through the pieces, and oh yeah, there's a distinct difference. To me, and I it just hit me right away, and I did have that thought, wow, she found a new level. Look at this. And so, okay, so that mental process then ends up being a real positive for you in terms of your design work.
It does. It's a whole level of enjoyment, a whole level of, I think I allowed myself to bring much, much more artistry into my designs. And kind of, not limit myself and take it to a place where there's no obvious answer to any questions you ask about the piece. You can't say, okay, what is the color scheme of this piece? I really don't think you can answer that in my, most recent works. Or, where's the symmetry? Is there or isn't there? Well, in parts there is and in parts there isn't, and I'm talking about one piece. So, there's little portions of symmetry here and there, but then there's not somewhere else. I think that makes them more interesting. And I'm just loving this time. I have stitched more in the past, I want to say, 4 months than I did probably in the past 5 years, and the 5 years previous. Yeah, I'm just stitching like a crazy person.
Well, see, it when I look at your latest work, from my photography training, years of photography and trying to learn how to do good photos, one of the things that I was taught was you obviously use the rule of thirds, and you do this and you do that. Got to have some black areas, some white areas, and all those little things. But a good photograph always has a little bit of tension in it. And that's what I see in your pieces. You can't just get comfortable with absolute symmetry, top to bottom, left to right. There's a little tension in it. And that makes you stop and explore and enjoy. And that's the cool thing for me.
Well, thank you. Gary, you know that you are one of the most perceptive people I have ever talked about these things. Really, you when I just so enjoy, I mean, obviously it's really nice too, but I enjoy when I see that you're getting what I'm doing. It's just such a pleasure. Thank
Well, thanks.
you.
I don't know. It just comes to me. No, it just it's all there. It just to me, it just screams out, yes, a new level, a new approach. And the colors, yeah, there's not a I really can I think of one where you can say, "Oh, this is a blue piece." I don't know that you can you?
Not anymore,
No,
no.
no.
No, you can't. And yet, I think that the colors work. I think your insides are very, yeah, you're right. There's a tension, but I think all in all, you're balanced inside when you
Yes.
look at it. You don't feel like, oops, I'm going to fall over it at any second.
No.
And except you don't know why.
Right. That's
And
but that's
that
the
makes it
key.
more interesting.
That's the key right there, yeah. There's something about this that doesn't make me just want to nod off, and it wants I got to study this more, and that's exactly it. Yeah, it's that tension that makes you stay in that peace. Yes. Yep.
And it's so gratifying to create and to share.
Yeah.
It's been received beautifully. Yeah, I'm very lucky.
And the end result, you're completely re-energized then.
I am. I feel like I have so much to say, if only my fingers would move fast enough. Yep. I've gone back to, I used to do this when I first started with needlepoint. I would stitch into the night, into crazy, crazy hours. And I'm back to doing that now. My sleep
Oh.
habits are horrific. But gosh, I love those quiet, crazy hours,
Yeah.
anything after midnight and before four, those are good hours.
Okay. That's when you cash
And
it in, is 4 o'clock in the morning.
just because I feel guilty
Oh.
that, oh my God, I better get this, I better get some sleep in here.
Oh, that's
But
great.
it's
Just you and the
worthwhile.
thread in the middle of the night. That's great. Nothing wrong with that. Yep. Yep. You just finished Fields of Gold.
Yes. That's a brand new piece. It's going to be a Zoom workshop. I'm doing it together with Shining Needle, and with Kate Gaunt, who's
Yes.
yeah. And so we're doing this together. It's a Zoom class, which will be really five get-togethers. And the piece is interesting because not only is it interesting, I think, to look at and to stitch, but it's also interesting because in the class I plan on sharing how this design came about, what technique I used to come up with the design, and what I did here is I used painting with watercolor as the first step of the process of this design. So I'll be showing how I do that. And it's a technique that I also teach in a design class I do, where you start actually with watercolor paper, watercolors, you paint. With a little bit of instruction, you paint your shapes, and you, after, once you're pleased with that, you turn it into stitches, and then you've got the stitched piece. So I think I sent you a photograph of the piece,
Yes, you
Fields of
did.
Gold, with the inspirational watercolors that brought it about. And that I think that will be something enjoyable to kind of figure out how this came about.
Well, it's vi visually a powerful piece. Yeah, it's really good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're right now we're getting great response sign up, and the beautiful thing about Zoom is that you can be anywhere, and as many of you that want to join in can join in. I have a wonderful Zoom setup here that actually my son-in-law helped me set up some months ago, where I have a camera focused on my hands. I have, and then, by the way, students have said that it's wonderful to be able to see close up and clearly without trying to peek over someone's shoulder, to see what I'm stitching. And then I have the use of the computer whiteboard, and I can bring up all the charts. And then there's obviously the face, face to face, the frontal talking with people. It's just a wonderful blend of, the classes are just so enjoyable. I love them.
Well, I think that's if there's positives in this pandemic, and they are countable on one hand, I'm sure. But one of them is that the technology has we've gotten over the hump with the technology, and things like you're just described have now become not only possible but quite doable and comfortably so, which gives you people like you many more options in terms of audience you reach. And really, I think opens a lot of doors.
It does. It really does. And you know what else? The stitchers too have become so competent. It used to be that I always had to make sure there's a class angel that can help people that are, still struggling with the technology or with the signing in or signing up or, all of that stuff. But everybody has become so competent that there really is no need. I say, let's meet here at this hour. I'm sending you an invite, and there they all are, ready to go. And that's really nice.
No, that is really great. That's a real plug. So let's make sure let's get a plug in here. So Shining Needle Society is and Shining Needle Society and Kate Gaunt do a lot of online classes. I mean, you can there's a whole bunch of them. So you're doing it with Shining Needle Society. We can register now.
Yes, registration is taking place now up until January. I want to say, oh God, I believe 5th or something along those lines. Yeah, very beginning of January.
Okay, so people sign up for that, and I'll put a link in the show notes so people can get to the Shining Needle Society. Because the Shining Needle Society, if you look it up and go to that website, it's essentially a non-functioning website. The real action happens elsewhere, and I'll put a link for that because it's very confusing. If you just put in Shining Needle Society in the Google thing,
Yeah,
you go to a
that's true.
website that's dead. But you go to the right one, and I'll put the link. Then you find all the action. So I'll
Yeah,
put that.
that would be great. There's a wonderful write-up there about the piece, and you can also find it on my website. I also have the option, I've also offered the option of signing up through me. It doesn't matter how you sign up. It's, both. In both cases, it's the partnership that I have with Shiny Needle Society. And you'll see there, exactly how to do it. What I like is that there's an option now where if you just email me the your information, I will email you a PayPal invoice, and it's bada bim, bada boom, you're signed
Oh,
up.
excellent.
It's
Excellent.
really easy. And then the class starts mid-March. And I'll tell you that one of the reasons we're doing it with that kind of distance of time is that, as you well know, right now there is
It comes. Here it comes.
a real difficulty getting threads. Things are really backed up. It's difficult to get the supplies. It's difficult for the companies the thread companies themselves. They're not getting their base threads, which they dye here, shipments from Europe, shipments from the Far East. They are working with fewer people. And some of these are really small sort of mom and pop businesses where the people that you work with are also the people that do the dyeing. And so we are all struggling to get what we need going fast enough. So instead of, I have a class that will be starting beginning of January for my new design, Many Moons. And I actually had close to 3 month delay from when I said that we would be starting. And thankfully, the people that signed up for this class have the patience to go through this with me. And so this time I thought, let's take enough time and make sure that I have all the kits. The kits for these classes, if you've ever gotten a kit of mine, you know that I pay a ridiculous amount of attention to making it just so beautifully packaged and wrapped. And when it arrives at your doorstep, I want it to feel like you just gave yourself a beautiful present. And so I take a lot of time to do that and try to pick out the best of materials. This class, Fields of Gold, has over 30 different threads, most of them silks. And I think it'll be fun just opening that package and looking at, the materials that we'll be working with. It should be nice.
Yeah, people will enjoy it. And yeah, and I will say to needleworkers, believe me, people like Orna, your local needlework shop, supply chains are absolutely stretched to the limit, if not completely broken, and they're powerless. Absolutely powerless. All people like Orna can do is wait for the next day's mail, hope something there that they ordered shows up, and open it quickly and get it shipped out. Because beyond that, they just You can scream and holler all you want, but it goes all the way down the chain to the original material workers, and they're all going to give you the same answer: I can't get my stuff. It's just, and it's going to be a while. You think, oh, well, the pandemic's over, it'll immediately fix itself. No, it won't. It'll take a good while after that before things catch up. You just have to be patient. You really do.
It's very true. The good news about this is that there has been a huge increase in crafting in general, but particularly needlework. There's been such a boom in people taking it up or getting back to it, having the time at home to really get back to enjoying this. And that's as real that's really good news, I think.
Oh yeah,
That
that's an another of the very few positives is a lot of people, yeah, a lot of people have been able to stitch, but I think it's also introduced needlework to a lot of people. All right, as a friend of mine described about his two teenage daughters, when they were outside in the backyard on a new trampoline, they found the end of the internet. And I thought, yeah, there it is. Yeah, the phone has become boring. We got to do something else. And I think a lot of people have found needlework as a really good way to spend time, and then you at the end you actually have something to show for your efforts. And
And the therapeutic part of it, the process, building things, something, just seeing something grow, bringing something to life. These are things we really need now, I think.
Yeah,
So
without a
it
doubt.
is, it's a positive.
Okay, I got to know the story. Now, when you had some of your pieces hung in the Philadelphia Convention Center, I was making, it seemed like, almost annual trips to the Philadelphia Convention Center for trade shows. And you got your pieces hung there, and I thought, oh, great, the next time I go, I get to see her pieces hanging on the walls in the convention center. This is going to be really cool to see, take pictures, blah, blah, blah. I have yet to have a show since then in the Philadelphia Convention Center. How did that happen that you get pieces there?
Well, this was such an amazing process. The state of Pennsylvania, first of all, the convention center, which is in Philadelphia, but it's really the Pennsylvania Convention Center. They expanded and they built a whole beautiful extension over a few blocks of the city. And in addition to building this space, they also started a grant. So they got $1.5 million to for art. And they decided to collect artwork from only Pennsylvania artists. And they had an open call. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to send in, fill out the paperwork, write what I need to write, and send them images of my pieces. And it took many months. I wasn't even remembering it anymore. And I thought, okay, I didn't think I would get in anyway, so it's all right. But then all of a sudden, I got a phone call telling me that the three pieces that I submitted, they wanted all three of them. And that was just mind-blowing. First of all, the thought of needlework being considered art alongside some amazing artists that paint, that have sculpture, that work with wood. It's an amazing collection, just beautiful. And so they decided how to display it. And when things calmed down, I would really suggest anyone that's in the Philadelphia area to try to go see that collection. And so they decided how to display it. And I got this whole wall, which is huge, to display my three pieces with beautiful plaque. And it was just so gratifying and humbling. And then they have a wonderful website, which I would love for you to put the link up to, where all of the artwork that they purchased and interviews with all the artists are up. So I got to tell them about needlework and about, how I came to it and what it is for me. And then the thought that it's going to be there, I sound corny, but I think about it, it's going to be there long after I'm gone. My stitches that I stitch by myself through the night, they're up on this wall there. Yeah, it was an amazing experience.
That's really special. That's gratifying is the word. Yeah, that's good. All right. Everything I've worked at and worked for, yep, there it is. Enjoy it. Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's great.
In fact, just a little story that my mother, who lives in Israel and doesn't come here often, she actually came for a visit a while after it was a year and a half ago. She came for a visit and she said, "I want to go see the pieces." And I said, "Oh no, you've seen them. You know what they're like. Don't worry about it, whatever." And she just wouldn't stop. And so I contacted the woman who was in charge of the whole thing, and I said, "Listen, my mom's here. She's visiting. This is something she's probably not going to get back." And she said, "Of course." And they opened the place up for the two of us. And I got to take her there. And I was so thankful that she forced me to do it, because to have my mommy stand there with me looking at it was really amazing. So, yeah, it was good.
Great feelings for both of you there.
Yep, it
Oh,
was nice.
that's
Yeah.
fantastic.
I didn't tell her, of course, I didn't want to give her the gratification, but
No.
yeah, it was nice.
And to the convention center, and then across the street, is it the Reading Terminal?
It's the Reading Terminal,
Yes.
yes.
But
Yeah, that's a special
that's a
place.
nice outing. That's a nice outing to go to see the artwork and then go across the street to the terminal, because there's a million places to get great food. And yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. And all sorts of foods from all over. Yeah,
Yep.
definitely a nice thing. Nice way to end a day of
Yep.
traveling. Yep.
Yeah, there's your outing right there. Yep. And just walking around that center section there of Philly with the murals painted on walls and the architecture, the whole bit. Yeah, it's
Exactly.
Yeah, 'cause
Well, the city of
Philadelphia,
Philadelphia thanks you.
well, they kind of get a bad name. You know, of just a kind of a dirty industrial blah 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 city, and it frustrates me because when I have gone to trade shows there in the middle of the city, it's a beautiful old city and there's so much to enjoy and you can walk so many places and it really is just a neat city. And when people say, "Oh, Philadelphia," no, you need to go to Philadelphia and actually go into the city and you'll be surprised. It's really nice. No, I'm
It's beautiful. We
yeah.
have some of the best museums, and it's a very European city. It's really walkable, like you
Yes.
say, and parks, and yeah, definitely, definitely. When we're allowed to start traveling, come.
Okay. I will. I got to get a trade show there. Yeah, and then I'll stay an extra day. That'll be it.
Cool. You'll come
Yep.
visit the studio.
All right, we got to wrap up here, but the other thing is how is it that you get needlework hanging on the door on the Friends set?
Actually, there's a bunch of pieces on in Monica's apartment. Yeah. Well, I'll just give you the quick version. One of my pieces, a Judaica piece, was on the front cover of Needlepoint Now years ago. And Marta Kaufman, who is the executive director, was the executive director of Friends, saw the piece. Her daughter was about to get bat mitzvahed, and she wrote an email to me and said, "Hi, this is who I am. I'm not a crazy person. I would love to stitch a piece for my daughter. Would you be willing to design for me?" And I'll tell you that this grew into a friendship. I have designed not only for each of her children, but I've even started for their weddings.
Oh, my.
And yeah, and so at the time, of course, she was at the set. She's directing Friends, and said, "Oh, I'd love to have some of these pieces hanging around." And yeah, she asked for some pieces, and there's some in the kitchen. There's one, the one that gets the most time on screen is the one in the bathroom, because I think there's a lot of bath taking that takes on takes ha happens on the show, and then there's my piece on the bathroom door, like you said.
Okay, now see, my wife watches Friends all the time. Of course, it's on 24 hours a day somewhere. And she loves
Yeah.
that show. She watches it all the time. And I've just grown to like, oh, geez, that thing again. Stop it, you know? And I mean, it's a brilliantly done show, and I actually find myself laughing when she's watching it because there are funny spots. But I'm just so
Right.
over it. And but now I thought it was just the one on the door. Now I'll be watching now. So any needlework on that set then is Orna Willis stuff.
Yeah, we'll do a Where is Waldo? Where
Yeah.
is Orna Needlepoint there?
Ha
Yeah. Yeah, it's
Okay.
a great th see, this is one of the ways you meet people in this wonderful needlepoint world.
Yep.
Weirdest ways.
Yeah, who knew? Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
All right, Orna, a treat as always. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Gary. It was fun, and I hope it won't take us 3 more years to get
No,
together.
I'll make a note. It won't. It won't. So, all right, so Shining Needle Society to sign up for Orna's class, and if it gets more than a couple days into January, then you better hurry because the deadline is coming up. But Shining Needle Society for Fields of Gold class. And then and you can go to Orna's website, Adorn. It's Adorn by Orna,
Yes.
AdornByOrna.com. Adorn by Orna, and obviously follow her on Instagram to keep up to date. Yeah, absolute treat. Thanks so much, Arna.
Thank you. Thank you. Stay safe.
You too. Thanks to everyone for listening.